Summer is the season for momentum, and for manufacturers, momentum needs direction. Stoke RGA delivers a growth blueprint backed by execution, not guesswork. We work where the work happens, driving impact from the plant floor to the boardroom. See how at StokeRGA.com.
You are listening to New Manufacturing Insights, the official podcast of Insight Publications and the Northeast Wisconsin Manufacturing Alliance. I'm your co-host, Kate Bruns, Manufacturing Editor at Insight.
And I'm Ann Franz, Executive Director of NUMA. This week's episode is brought to you by Stoke RGA. Align your team, accelerate your growth. Learn more at StokeRGA.com.
Today, we are excited to be joined by the president of one of Northeast Wisconsin's most influential nonprofits, Aspiro, which assists clients who are living with disabilities from birth through their senior years. He's a licensed attorney and a business owner in the Green Bay area, and he's here with us today to talk more about Aspiro's overall mission, as well as its connection to our region's manufacturing workforce. Ryan Ruzicconi, welcome to New Manufacturing Insight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. It's great to see you.
Yes. Ryan, so tell us a little bit more about your journey. What led you to become president of Aspiro?
So I grew up in the UP, born and raised. After high school, went to the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and then off to law school at Marquette University. From there, I worked for various companies in Wisconsin, like Colby & Colby Windows and Doors. I was their assistant general counsel. I had a lot of fun there. We did some unique things, like working with the first China-based distributor of Colby products. Then I left the state of Wisconsin and went to Detroit, and specifically the Flint area, and went to Diplomat Specialty Pharmacy. And I was their first lawyer. I was their vice president and general counsel. And we were a relatively small company. We were doing about $200 million in revenue, had about 250 employees. And over roughly 10 years, we jumped to $5 billion in revenue and had close to 5,000 employees. I created their legal, HR, and compliance department. And in 2014, took them public on the New York Stock Exchange. And so it was a great learning experience, doing business all over the country, working with a variety of people, and also seeing what can happen when you have a company that works to transform a community, because we became the largest employer in Flint. And Flint historically has had a little bit of a economic issue, a little bit more struggling to get its economy going once the auto industry somewhat left Flint. Sure. And we were able to fill that void. So you got to see what mission, what a mission-driven company does and what an impact they can make. From there, I left and did work with the Children's Hospital of Michigan, was on their board, was a trustee, was a lawyer for them, just about did everything. And that was the largest, and still is the largest, funder of pediatric research in the state of Michigan. And got to do some amazing things there. And again, mission-driven, making an impact, got to see how all that affected the community. And that was completely Michigan-based, not just in Detroit. The, you know, they were doing things throughout the state. And in 2023, left, came over to Green Bay, sort of had a coming back home feeling to it. And I was asked by two board members if I'd be interested in becoming the president of Aspiro. Their president had just left. Learned more about Aspiro, loved it, loved the mission-driven aspect of it, love what it's about. And here I am.
So wow, that's
jumped
awesome.
Jumped right in.
Yeah, awesome.
So for listeners who may not be familiar with Aspiro, can you share the organization's mission and its impact it has on individuals and families in our communities?
Yeah, Aspiro is a Wisconsin-based disability service provider, working with individuals with disabilities throughout the full range of their life, from birth all the way through adulthood. And we serve 1,600 individuals. We touch 10,000 families through our programs and services. We are in 10 different counties. We have 11 distinct programs. And we also have two facilities in the Green Bay area. Our main facility is on Dousman Street. And then we have a kind of a manufacturing shop, floor-based facility on Stiles Road in Green Bay. And, you know, we believe that every person has value and should live a full and meaningful life. And that's why our motto is live your way. We've been around since 1957, so that's almost 70 years, and that's a lot of trust we've built up in the community. We don't take that lightly, and that is core to what we believe in, and that support we have with the community.
So what are some of the specific services that you provide at Aspiro?
Sure. A full range. So we do early intervention, which is working with birth to three.
Okay.
So we have the occupational therapist, physical therapist, speech therapist that go into the home and work with families whose children might be delayed or have a cognitive disability or even a physical delay, and we work with them. We have day services, assisted day services, where adults are coming to our facility and they're learning daily living skills. They're out in the community volunteering. We also have a vast amount of work programs, everything from group supported employment, and I can get into all those, pre-vocational, project search, employment services. And all of those kind of wrapped together is, you know, really about getting our clients independent and trying to get them in the community as well.
So when you talk about employment in the workforce, what are the biggest challenges? And I know people with disabilities all are diverse, but what are some of the biggest challenges that you kind of help your clients navigate?
Yeah, I think it's definitely visibility and awareness. You know, before they even really get a start, a lot of times the door is already closed.
Mm-hmm.
So an individual with disabilities wants the same thing we all want. They want to be part of the community. They want to be out with their friends socializing. They want a job. You know, they want to feel the same pride in what they do daily that we do. And so that's what we're always striving to do, is to give them that. And, you know, when we work with our business partners, when we work with our volunteers, you know, they help open those doors for us. And once those doors are open, then Aspiro can come in and cause that ripple effect, you know, and touch mm-hmm. others in the community, not just our clients. So that when one of our clients gets a job, an employer gets a hardworking, strong, adaptable individual, and their business is better for it. When a family gets access to day services, those parents can remain employed in the community, and it brings stability to that family. Mm-hmm. And when a family has access to early intervention, that child's getting the therapy services that they need, and they're able to start school on a stronger footing. So that ripple effect reaches into the community, and we think makes everybody better for it.
So a lot of our listeners are employers who work in the manufacturing area and are hiring. What are some misconceptions that businesses have about hiring individuals with disabilities?
What we do is our staff works with the business and tries to analyze what their pain points are. So is your pain point a frontline worker, entry level? Is it reliability? And then we can see where our fit is. So where do our programs fit with that business? And then where do our clients fit with that business? And we find a lot of different things. It might be that the employer is worried about hiring somebody full-time, right? Maybe our client isn't a fit for full-time, but we can split that role into two part-time roles with two of our clients. And that really opens their eyes that they can be adaptable and that we can find those solutions, because you're getting an individual who wants to be there, who's hardworking, who is dependable and reliable, and they care. That, you know, that's one of the things we hear from our business partners all the time is that it's one thing to teach the skills. It's always another thing to get an employee to care, and mm-hmm. our clients do care, you know, and want to be there.
So can you share a success story that really captures the life-changing work Aspiro is really doing?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I'll give you a couple. So we have a program called Project Search. So Project Search is really an immersive program. So this can be for adults. It's also for high school students as well. And this is really an immersive program. They go right into the business 5 days a week, and they do three 10-week internships. And we have our partners right now are Aurora Baycare and also HSHS St. Vincent's Amplify. And so they're getting to learn job exploration, but also getting to learn all those skills while they're in this program. So they're working in various departments. And we've had individuals go through that program who his goal was to be a barista. He wanted to be that barista at Starbucks, right? Mm-hmm. And as he went from department to department, he learned that he loved pharmacy. He got to work in the pharmacy. He loved it. Mm-hmm. As soon as he graduated, he was employed by Aurora. He's working in their pharmacy right now as a tech. We have another individual who went through there. He just had his 8-year anniversary at Quick Trip. And then we also see this in our group supported employment program, which is where our job coach and three of our clients are going right to the business, working there every day, And we saw that where we had a manufacturer whose shop floor was getting a little backed up. They had lost their drill press operator. And one of our clients had asked, well, I'd love to work that drill press. But, you know, there's some hesitation there, right? They finally relented. They went through the training, worked with them daily. He was fantastic at it. To this day, he's still there, has their drill press operator. So it solved two issues. One, the employer, you know, solved that employment issue they had in finding somebody reliable, but they also found a great employee through it. And our client got a job and getting paid, those wages go right back into the community.
Workforce development is such an important issue today. How can organizations like Aspiro help manufacturers and other employers meet workforce needs while creating more inclusive workplaces?
We have over 100 business partners right now, and we're always looking for more. And in the United States, there's 60 million individuals with disabilities, but only 21% are employed. So that's a huge pool of people that with a competitive economy and struggling to find workers, you know, that worker shortage, there's an incredible pool of people right there and available. And we know that it's not one size fits all, right? There's just like when you and I go get a job, there's different ranges of skill sets. So we do everything from working with those individuals on entry-level skill set to advanced skill set. And we do that with a lot of the programs we have. So I had mentioned group-supported employment before. And that program is, you know, it's usually a 1-to-3 ratio. So it's three of our clients going out with a job coach. And they're on-site. They're working with that company's workers. They're working on the shop floor. They're doing meaningful work. And they're really building that job skill. And the hope is that they either stick with that company or they take those skills and go to another one. And you get some examples of that. If you've ever been to Epic, the concert venue, and you've stood by a table with your friends, you had a drink or you sat there, all that setup is done by our clients. That's our staff through the group supported employment doing that. If you've been to the Crest Center, you've been to a UWGB basketball game, you've walked in and said, boy, this looks really clean. Well, that's because those are our clients through group supported employment out there at, on campus daily at UWGB doing that work. So that's one of our programs. We also have a pre-vocational program, and that goes on at our Styles facility. So our Styles facility is more of a manufacturing shop floor-based facility. So businesses bring their product to us. So maybe they need it repackaged. Maybe they need some collating done. Maybe they need sewing done. That's done there. So they're learning how to, not only those job skills, but they're also learning how to work on a shop floor in that setting, work with their peers, work with coworkers, and develop those skills that, again, hopefully they'll be able to they'll be able to take those and go out into the community and get another job.
Mm-hmm. I know I think a couple years ago, actually brought some manufacturers to your Styles plant.
Yeah.
And there's so much technology and, you know, what you think, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when I walked through there for the first time, I was surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, and you go into the back and you can see what businesses are doing, the product that they're shipping in that they might need repackaged. One of the first times I walked through that building, there was crates of sauerkraut in the back. And I'm like, what is this? What's with all the sauerkraut? And we were repackaging it. Instead of it being in cans of four, they wanted it in cans of two before it went off to the grocery store. And so our clients did that.
Mm-hmm. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to share, you know, what are your greatest needs as an organization and how can, you know, people get in touch with you and start working with you if they aren't already.
Yeah, our need is always looking for business partners.
Okay.
You know, so we encourage everybody to, any business out there, if they're looking for alternative workplace solutions, please give us a call. Go to our website, aspiroinc.org. We're happy to, like I said, work through that with you, you know, analyze what you need and see where our fit lies. I'm sure, you know, we'd be able to find a solution together.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other things we're doing too is we're really, you know, looking to expand. So we've started to do more in rural areas as well, bringing some of our services into those areas where there's a need, whether it is those workplace programs or some of our other programs like day services or building full lives or transition services with high schools. We're really looking to get into those areas too.
What did you maybe not know that you've come to appreciate about the work that's being done there?
I think the reach of the organization was shocking.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize how individuals with disability touch so many lives throughout the community. And when you go, I think when you go into nonprofit, there's always a belief, well, a nonprofit is only in this one area. And, you know, they don't touch that many lives. But when you see it daily, when you see all the programs you have, you see the families that you connect with, you realize that the reach is not just Green Bay. The reach becomes, you know, all of Northeast Wisconsin, and then it becomes even greater into Wisconsin as a whole. I think that's one of the things that I've learned is just the reach that we have. And that's a great thing.
So you mentioned rural expansion. What excites you the most about the future, and what other things are you kind of thinking about as you work to grow stronger, more inclusive communities?
We're really excited about the fact that we're about to move back into our Dousman facility. So we entered into a $21 million capital campaign this past year, and that was to completely remodel that facility. So it's been renovated with new classrooms, new art room, new music room, new gym. And we're really excited about what we're going to be able to do there. And that's going to allow us to expand our offering, because not only does it have extra space so we can build more programs into that space, but we can serve more clients through that and really allow us to grow. So we couldn't be more excited about that. And thank you to, you know, the Green Bay community in Northeast Wisconsin, all the donors we had. It really is a benevolent community. Mm-hmm. I've lived in a lot of places, and Green Bay is probably the best at that. It's amazing how well the community comes together. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about that. We think that's going to, you know, having a main facility that is big and has been renovated is really going to give us the excitement to kind of take everything to the next level.
When will you be moving back in?
We hope, fingers crossed, end of July.
Okay. And how long have you been displaced? How has the temporary housing worked?
We've been displaced since September.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had a great... obviously, we have our style facility, so we've leaned on that a little bit. But we've had a great relationship with the Green Bay Public School District, and they gave us access to Tank Elementary, which they had closed the year before. And Tank has been great. They've been great to work with us, and we've really enjoyed our time there. It has all the old middle school vibes that you would think that it does. So that's always fun. But, you know, we're really thankful for it, but we're excited to move back to Dousman.
Oh, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Renovation. Awesome.
Well, thank you for the work you do. You know, you're touching so many lives, and this is near and dear to my heart because my husband's legally blind. And a lot of times people think because of the disability that they don't have the same skill set as somebody who is, so to speak, able. And so thank you so much for your work. But before we let you go, we always ask our guests, what is your best leadership insight?
I would say to be curious. I've had a pretty varied and fun career with a lot of different corporations and organizations, but that was only possible because I was curious. I was curious about those organizations and those companies and what they did, and the people that they employed, the people that they served. And I speak to a lot of university classes and groups, and I always say, you know, be curious. It's a great networking tool in general to be curious about people, but it's also great inside companies, because you should be curious about the people in your company. You should be curious about the departments and how they serve their clients, how they work with staff, what their career ambitions is, and you will really learn a lot, and it'll make you a better leader because you are learning that, you are curious. So that's probably the best leadership advice that I can give, and something that I enjoy. I'm always curious about what goes on in different places like this studio and, you know, being in here. So
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we would once again like to thank Ryan Ruzicconi from Aspiro for joining us on this episode of New Manufacturing Insights. And we, of course, want to thank you all for listening.
If you'd like to support the show, please listen and subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts. As always, a big thank you to Stoke RGA for sponsoring the show. Kate and I will be back again next Thursday with more New Manufacturing Insights. Bye.